Welcome. If you guys are looking for the $1 million cleaning company masterclass, this is it. So as people start rolling on here, I'll just start talking and then we'll get into it today. So hopefully you guys are excited about this and yeah, man, it's going to be fun. It's going to be cool. So this whole idea started a couple weeks ago when I did a Zoom like this, just explaining about how we were building our cleaning company. And then at the very end of it, I decided that I said, hey, like, I want to just mentor and coach somebody absolutely free. And I had a lot of people who reached out to me about that. They even filled out an application, they applied, and I got on probably 10 calls with people. And through all those calls, I came to the conclusion that I just couldn't pick one person. I just couldn't help one person. And so that's where this idea of the masterclass really came from. It came from the idea of that I wanted to help more people. And so I figured I'd put together a masterclass and walk through a series of trainings like this, and then really helping somebody be able to either take an established cleaning business and help grow it to $1 million, or if somebody's just getting started, help start it from scratch and build it to $1 million. So that's kind of what this whole masterclass is about and kind of the reason why it came together. So you guys are hopping on here. I see that got some people's on here. Can't really see how many we have, but you guys want to, let's get a little engagement in the chat here. So if you guys want to type in the chat kind of where you're from, how'd you get here? If you guys have a cleaning business, are you looking to start a cleaning business? And then once we get some activity in the chat, let's make sure everybody knows that I'm here, everybody can hear me, then we'll get rocking and rolling here. So yeah, Katie is here, my wife. She's my better half. Yeah, if you guys we'll start getting that chat a little bit here, see what's crack-a-lacking, see where everybody's at. Michelle's from Florida. Amazing. We actually are in Mesa right now, so we're dodging the Bozeman winter, and we're experiencing the beautiful Mesa, Arizona winter right now. So that's fun. Yeah. Rhea definitely is coming from the furthest place. She's coming from the Philippines. It's amazing. Cool. Okay. Looks like we got some people's in here. So Michelle, congratulations, launching cleaning business. It's amazing. So let's go ahead and people will start rolling on here. Everyone is going to get access to this recording. So if you guys can't make it for the whole thing, totally cool. There'll be recording at the end of it, but there's gonna be some really cool nuggets in here. And again, this is just lesson number one. And so hopefully you guys are ready to get bombarded with lots of information, lots of breaking beliefs, and really just feel inspired to actually take action and turn this business into something that you're excited about and something that will truly transform your life and the people around you. So yeah, if you guys have questions, you guys can light up the chat. Other than that, let's go ahead and let's get rocking and rolling. So this is building a $1 million cleaning company with zero cleaning experience. Number one, lesson number one. So, you know, there's a lot of information out there leading to so much confusion, more confusion than clarity, right? And so if you're concerned with like wasting both time and money on your business, I'll tell you what, you're in the right place. Because what my goal here is to show you how to minimize your downside of losing both time and money while elevating your upside of increasing your time and your resources, such as money. And so there's lots of big companies, lots of big entrepreneurs out there that make you think that you need a ton of capital or you need years of experience or even like an MBA to be successful in business. But I can tell you, like, that ain't true. Now, entrepreneurship is freaking hard, right? Whether it's the economy, whether it's finding good help, or whether it's government regulations trying to tell you what to do, like there will always be obstacles and challenges that will be in the way of you creating a successful business. But I'm telling you what, like you're here for a reason, right? Because there's something about this that you love, right? You love the challenge. You love being told you can't do it. Like there's a spirit inside of you that was meant for this, right? It was meant to be challenged. And if you're someone like me, like you serve a bigger purpose than just by getting by. Like living a life of mediocrity is not okay. And so the goal of this masterclass is really to help two types of entrepreneurs, okay? So really listen up here. Number one, for established cleaning business owners, like you will learn how to run a business that isn't dependent on you to either clean or sell, right? That still allows you to put at least 25% of all revenue in your pocket, which means if you make $100,000, you'll put at least $25,000 of profit in your bank account, okay? Now, if you're a startup cleaning business owner, like you're going to learn exactly what it takes to actually launch a cleaning business, even if you have zero experience with either business or with cleaning. And so my goal for this masterclass is to really highlight the opportunity to create a path to financial freedom through the vehicle of owning a cleaning business. Now, over the last 2 years, I've been very fortunate and very blessed to build a cleaning business that is on pace right now to do over $100,000 per month. And I spend less than 10 hours a week in this business. And it's really helped us in the catalyst for us to buy over $10 million of real estate up to this point. Now, if you had told me that, like just a few short years ago, like I would have laughed at you, right? And in fact, like it was a little over 2 years ago, December of 2020, Katie and I, we were on our morning walk and we were in Austin, Texas. And we had just started our cleaning business 6 weeks earlier in Bozeman, Montana. And I remember going on this walk and telling Katie that I believe that this business would be a $1 million business. And I just had so much hope and so much faith in this business, really, because like I needed it to work. And we both wanted to create a business that allowed us both the financial and time freedom to live like our best life, right? Now, up to this point, we had been running a fitness business for 7 years. And while it had some success, I just felt like we were swimming against the current. Like there was so much freaking effort that constantly required our attention, right? It was hard to sell clients into our personal training facility. It was hard to keep the clients in our personal training facility. It took an enormous amount of effort. And really the result we were selling took a long time to get there. And so the value equation that we were giving to our prospects and our clients, like it was just against us. And so after I started exploring the idea of a cleaning business, I saw the opportunity like right away. Like the value equation compared to the fitness business and the cleaning business, it was literally flipped around. Now, if you guys aren't familiar with the value equation, there's four questions that every prospect asks themselves. Okay. They ask, how long is it going to take for me to achieve this result? How much effort is required of me? What's the likelihood of me actually achieving this result? And how impactful will it be upon me achieving the result? And so if we take this value equation, we look at that through the lens of fitness. You guys can think about this, like how many of you guys in here actually like have tried to lose weight or want to lose weight, right? Everybody, right? And so like, how long does it take for you to achieve that result? Like your whole life, right? Like it's a constant battle. Like there is no start and stop. How much effort is required of me? Dude, like so much effort. You got to change how you eat. You got to change how you move your body. You got to change how you sleep. There's so many things you have to change in order for you to actually achieve a transformative result. Now, what's the likelihood of you actually achieving the result of transforming your body and losing weight and being able to fit into certain dress sizes and to certain clothes? Based on the math and the data out there, it's really, really low, right? And even if you hit the goal, like the chance of you keeping it, the numbers go down even further. Now, how impactful will it be upon achieving the result of transforming your body? Like it's everything. Like it changes the way you perceive yourself. It changes the way you are perceived by other people. It changes your thoughts and your beliefs and your confidence and your ability to walk into a room and just like command that room. So it's very impactful. Only on one of those four things does fitness actually win. Now, on the other side of the coin, let's take this from a cleaning business example. Okay. So think about this from a cleaning prospect who reaches out to you to say, hey, like, can you clean my home? Like, how long is it going to take for them to achieve the result? Like, if you have availability that day, maybe the next day, they can get the result, you know, relatively quickly. How much effort is required of your cleaning client for them to come home to a sparkling clean home without them having to do a thing? Nothing, right? Outside of giving their credit card, there is no effort required of them. What's the likelihood of them actually achieving the result of coming home to a home that smells citrusy and fresh and clean and things are picked up? It's really dang good, especially if you have lots of testimonials and lots of five-star reviews. There's a lot of trust in that. And how impactful is it for somebody to come home to this feeling of peace and to feel calm when they walk into their house? It can mean everything to somebody on that day. It can be a game changer. And the fact that they can do it over and over again, man, it makes the cleaning business so impactful to so many people. And so once I understood these four questions, I understood how it related to the cleaning business, like, I was sold. Okay. Now, the problem was that neither me and my wife, Katie, we had any cleaning experience. We knew nothing about supplies, about products, about cleaning techniques. And I'll tell you what, we got humbled really, really fast. In fact, our second clean that we ever did, I remember being on the phone call with this gal on the sales call, and she was telling me about her home. It was about 35 minutes away from our house. I remember putting it on Google Maps, and she was explaining to me about the house. I was like, okay, cool, yeah, totally fine. And by the end of the phone call, she's like, hey, like, by the way, you have a four-wheel drive vehicle? And I said, yeah. Do I need it? She was like, yeah, but we're kind of up in the mountains. And very fortunate for us, it had just snowed a ton that night after I got off the call with her, and we scheduled that clean for the very next day. And so I sent my wife Katie out on this wild goose chase up. Now, it said it was 35 minutes, but that was without the snow. And that was without her getting stuck. And so it took her almost an hour to get up to this property, and she didn't have to put it in four-wheel drive, but she ended up making it there. She spent probably 3 or 4 hours there, and it took another hour to get back home. And, you know, I asked her how everything went, and she's like, it was hard. It was a lot of work. That place was a lot dirtier than you had made it out to be in the notes. I was like, okay, cool. Right. My bad. Well, right next day, I reached out to her, just asking her how the clean went. And all of a sudden, I just got a mirage of pictures of things that were not done. And my heart just sank. And she was like, I didn't even know that somebody was here. Like, that's how bad this place is. And it was in that moment that I was like, shit. Well, maybe we got a little bit in over our head. And so we didn't charge that gal for that claim whatsoever. And it was one of those first experiences, like, okay, it's time for us to either get out of this business or figure out how to actually run a cleaning business. And so thankfully, my wife, she jumped all in, and she joined tons of cleaning Facebook groups. She watched hours of YouTube, and she started to find products and supplies and cleaning techniques that allowed us to at least be decent as far as the fulfillment of our cleaning service was. Now, once we actually figured out how to clean, we were able to actually utilize our strength and our mastery, which was in the marketing and the sales and the leadership departments, right? And so our primary marketing strategy was using Facebook ads. And the reason why is because I just have had so much experience of spending quite literally hundreds of thousands of dollars making hundreds of campaigns for my fitness business. And so that was our primary way to generate leads in that business. And so I just took what I knew in that experience and I put it over into this cleaning business. And I was very fortunate that the very first funnel I put up, it worked. And it's actually still the same funnel that we run to today. And it's still our primary marketing funnel that we use. Now, of course, we also use Google services. We also use Google ads. We also use Craigslist as a ways for paid advertising. And to this day, we've produced over 2,500 leads. Most importantly, we've converted 850 of those leads into paying clients. And so if you do the math on that, that's like a 35% conversion rate, which is outstanding. Okay. And right now, currently, our cleaning business is on pace to break that $83,000 per month mark, which is $1 million run rate. Mm-hmm. And so that's pretty cool. But what's even cooler is that both my wife and I, like, we have the freedom to live our best life. And that's what business is supposed to do. It's supposed to give you freedom. And so I spend, again, probably about an hour on the business. I spend probably a couple hours a week just tweaking things and adjusting marketing campaigns. My wife spends less than 10 hours a week on the business. And currently we're in Mesa, Arizona. for the winter. And our cleaning business is in Montana. And the fact that it's growing is, man, it's just a testament to the freedom that this business can give you, not only from a time standpoint, not only from a financial standpoint, but even from a geography standpoint. And so what excites me the most, though, about this whole process, this whole system, is that now I get to do what I truly love, right? The reason why I got into personal training, the reason why I owned a gym, is because I love to help people. I love to see people transform. And while I thought my love was for fitness, my love was actually just truly for helping people and to sharing what I know and to give it to them so they can start to experience the same feelings that I did. And so that's what this is all about, is for you to be experience that same freedom. And so what we're going to be covering in lesson number one, this masterclass, is three frameworks. Okay, so these are the three frameworks that we're going to go over tonight. So framework number one is going to be how to force your way to $1 million business while using just third grade math. Okay. Framework number two is how to build an army of cleaners who will lay on a sword for you. And then framework number three is how to actually ethically steal my model in literally less than 10 minutes. Okay. So if you guys are excited, let me know in the chat. I see people who are rolling on here. So put in the chat if you're excited to get down on these three frameworks. And without further ado, let's go ahead and let's keep diving in here. So framework number one, how to force your way to $1 million cleaning business by using just third grade math. So our business, it was stagnant around $25,000 to $30,000 a month about 7 months ago. Okay. We had no clear direction. And because we had no clear direction, the thing just quit growing, right? A business is very much like a garden. If you're not going to plant, if you're not willing to water the seeds that you planted, it will stop growing. And that's exactly what happened to our business. Now, I was frustrated because I saw this for 6 months. Our business would just get kept on just sitting still. It was not growing. It was not continuing to prosper. And I got frustrated. I was like, this thing can work. And through the frustration, I created this $1 million business model. I was like, hey, these are the numbers that we need to hit. And once I started to figure out exactly what we need to do, then I shared it. Once I understood it, then I shared it with the team. All of a sudden, everyone knew exactly what they needed to do. And lo and behold, the business started to grow. And so literally 6 months after I built this $1 million model that I'm about to share with you, like, our business doubled. Okay. And so set number one is you got to get clear on what you want to make a month. And so for me, from the very beginning, I knew I wanted to have $1 million business. I wanted to make $83,000 every single month. Now, your goals might be different. Maybe you want to make 20K. Maybe you want to make 30K. Maybe you want to make 40 or 50, right? Maybe you want to make more. Maybe you want to make 100K. But you need to get clear on exactly what you want to make a month. Step number two, you need to find your KPIs. Okay. KPIs stand for critical performance indicators. These are the numbers that if you hit these numbers, it will help you hit your big goal, which again is your revenue goal. Okay. And so for me, I found out my KPIs were job ticket hours. They were the number of cleaners we had on our team and the average number of job ticket hours that each cleaner did per week. Now, this was just on the cleaner side. I also came up with numbers for the acquisition side. So on the acquisition side, we need to actually hit a weekly revenue of $19,360 every single week. This would put us on pace for us to hit that $83,000 a month. To hit $83,000 a month. We needed our average revenue per clean to be about $200. We needed to do 96 cleans every single week. We needed to have 220 reoccurring clients, so people who are either committed to doing weekly cleans, bi-weekly cleans, or cleans every 4 weeks. And we needed to get 9 new clients every single week. And so by hitting these numbers, this model allowed us to actually hit $83,000 per month. And so again, step number two was to find the KPIs, and step number three was just to reverse engineer all those numbers. And so for you, your business might be different. You might want less cleaners. You might want them to work more hours. And so depending on your work week, like, we only work 5 days a week, so we don't work on the weekends outside of a couple short-term rental cleans. And so I love base everything on a five-day cadence. And so these are the numbers that when I just figured out exactly what it was, I relayed this to our to our team, and every single week we tracked it. Okay. And so in July 2022 is when I created this model. We were doing about $32,000 for the month. And January 2023, which was just a couple weeks ago, 6 months later, we did $64,350. Right. And all we did differently was we got clear on where we were going. We figured out the key performance indicators that we needed to hit on a day-to-day and a weekly basis. And we reverse engineered those numbers and we went over it every single week. And so I also created what I called a vision meeting. So inside this vision meeting, this sheet that I will share with you guys after this training, like, so you guys get access to this sheet as well. We went over it every single week. We talked about our cleaning acquisition numbers or all our cleaners coming in. And then we talked about our acquisition numbers from our clients coming in. And we basically use those two things together to figure out, well, why aren't we hitting our numbers? And then from there, we're able to problem solve and say, oh, this is the problem. This is the problem. And because of that, we were able to double our business. And so sometimes it's just as simple as having a clear target, having clear metrics, and then focusing on it day in, day out. So that's framework number one. And again, you guys will get access to my $1 million gym model. And so you can take that and you can actually put in your numbers based on your business and what your goals are. And you can do the same thing. So that way you have clarity on what your goals are on a day-to-day and week-to-week basis. So yes, you guys excited about that? Let me know in the chat. Still get you excited just to have clear direction on exactly what it takes in order for you to actually hit your goals. Sound cool? Yes. Awesome. Amazing. Okay. So let's talk about framework number two. So framework number two is how to build an army of cleaners who will lay on the sword for you. So after a year of being in the cleaning business, we started to create some momentum. We had about six cleaners and we were doing about $20,000 a month and things were going pretty good, right? We started to add more cleaners. We're starting to make a little bit more revenue. And then what seemed to be out of the blue, we had four of our six cleaners just quit all on the same day. And I remember Katie, my wife, telling me this, and she came to me in tears and she was frustrated. And I could tell that she was not having it. And we were sitting at dinner time and we were talking about our day and you could tell she was stressed out and she started breaking out crying. And she just basically told me, she's like, oh, I think we should quit this business, right? I think we should sell it. I think we should get out of it. I think we should do something other than run this business. And I remember that conversation very, very clearly. And I remember thinking to myself, like, yeah, this sucks. Maybe we don't know what we're doing, right? It's like, again, we got in over our heads again. It's like, to go from 0 to 20 was cool, but going from 20 to, you know, 40 or 50, that's a whole nother ball game. And I was like, should we quit, right? That thought came across my head as well. But I quickly pushed it out, right? I quickly pushed it out and realized that, you know what, this isn't about the cleaners, right? This isn't their fault. This is our fault. I just had to figure out why it was our fault. And what I realized was that we had built a shitty culture. And in fact, we hadn't really built a culture whatsoever. And so when we decided that we were going to go forward with this business and go start with our two cleaners and build it back up, we decided we're going to do things differently. We're not going to do the same things. We're just going to hire warm bodies. We weren't just going to bring on people who needed a job and who could fill in the roster and take on cleans, but we actually wanted people who we liked, who we wanted to be around, people who we saw with, who we saw who wanted to grow, who wanted just opportunity. And so the only way we have to do that is if we actually created a culture of achievement. And so creating a culture of achievement takes four steps. Okay. And the first thing is all about us. And we had to write down our core values, because when we figured out what our core values were, then we knew what we were looking for in the people who we brought on. So we wanted people who we liked, who we wanted to be around, because ultimately, like, this is what it's about. It's about not forcing yourself to be around people you don't like or to point your fingers at people, but it's like, how do you find friends who you do business with? Right. And as much as we think about, you know, having bosses, employees relationship, like ultimately, like, we want to be around people who are more like us, right? And so a lot of that doesn't have to be necessarily with personalities, but core values have to be in alignment. And so Katie and I wrote down all of our core values, and we came up with these core values that we have today. And so for us, you got to be consistent, right? Always have to show up. You have to be service focused, right? You got to get focused on serving our clients and each other. So everybody else on the team as well. Communication, you have to be able to have direct conversations with your superiors. So that means like with us or your manager, and also with other cleaners. Like there's no sugarcoating. Like we tell it like it is. You must be able to be flexible. Like the cleaning business, there's so much change, whether it be clients canceling last second or having to put people on your schedule last second, or having another cleaner call out sick and you have to take over some of their cleans. Like you have to be able to adapt in an always changing environment. You must be accountable, right? You must actually take 100% responsibility. So, you know, if you're not making the money you want to make, like you must take responsibility for that. If you didn't do a great job at a clean, you have to go back and you got to fix it. You need to take 100% responsibility for that. And so the next core value is growing. You got to be growth oriented, right? You got to want to seek feedback. You got to be willing to take that feedback and apply it and actually become a better human being. And then integrity, like if you say you're gonna do something, you got to follow through on it. And so we realized that those were our core values. And now those are the same core values that we look for when we hire people. And we not only look for them, but we explain to them, we share with them. This is actually part of our job description, that they know exactly what our core values are. And so these core values, people who see these things are like, wow, I'm attracted to that. But also what it does even better is it repels away the people who are not consistent, people who only care about themselves, people who are afraid to communicate, people who like are like, they just want to show up to a job and they just want to get by, right? They don't want to take any responsibility and they definitely don't want to grow and they don't want to be in charge of themselves, let alone anybody else. And so that's the best thing it does. It repels those people, but it attracts the other people. And that's what makes this culture so fun to be a part of. Now, so that's the first step. You got to write down your core values. The second thing, you actually create a mission. Okay. And so what we did is we created a mission, a mission statement. And so our mission is to provide a consistent cleaning experience for the Bozeman community through our fast communication and ability to act quickly. Right. That's what we set our foundation on. And I actually have a worksheet that's going to walk you guys through this whole process that I'm sharing with you right now. So if you're like, man, like, I like this, I like what I'm hearing, I just don't know how to do it, like I'm gonna share a template so that we actually can create your core values and create your mission statement, okay? And the third thing we did is we created an identity. And so we started thinking about all the names that we could call ourselves. So think about this like a sports team. So if any of you guys watched Super Bowl last week, you saw that it was the Philadelphia Eagles versus the Kansas City Chiefs. And so if you're a Chiefs fan, like you identify as a Chiefs fan, right? And so think about maybe the school you went to, whether it be the college you went to or the high school you went to, there was some sort of mascot that went with it, which allowed you to identify yourself as as somebody who represented that school. And so as a business, so many times we fail to take this concept and apply it to our business. And so what we did is we created our Sparkle Bosses, right? So we have our Bozeman Five-Star Cleaning is our company name, and our mascot or who identify as our Sparkle Bosses. And so everybody who comes on our team, they become a Sparkle Boss. And that's how we communicate to them in our group chats. It's how they communicate on our team meetings. They're known as Sparkle Bosses. When it comes to signing their paperwork, like they are now a Sparkle Boss, right? And so they get to take that identity. And so the cool thing about that identity is that when somebody comes in, maybe they have character issues that they have in their head, or they have certain identities that they've had or certain beliefs that they have. And so when they're able to come into a new environment, they're able to give themselves a opportunity to change, right? They're able to change for the better. And so that's one thing we give people do is we give them the opportunity to create a new identity. So someone who is a high performer, somebody who does take responsibility, who's all those core values we talked about earlier. And from that, we actually created a manifesto. And so this is something that we read on our team meetings. It's something that all the Sparkle Bosses, they know what we stand for. And it also allows us to make decisions based on whether we need to hire somebody or fire somebody, whether we have a decision that doesn't necessarily have a black or white answer, if there's maybe a gray answer. It's like we follow our core values and we look at the manifesto and says, what does the manifesto tell us, right? And so this is something that's really inspiring. When somebody reads this, they're like, oh my gosh, like this is really cool. And they know that they're part of something different. And that's exactly what we're trying to provide, is something different, because ultimately, people look at a cleaning tech position as an entry-level job, right? And that's why so many people, they, as employers, they see their employees can constantly turn over. But if you're able to build a culture, and you're able to give them something more than just a job, more than just making money, having them be part of something bigger, then all of a sudden your chances of keeping them longer goes way further. And so this is what our manifesto is, and people get excited about this and they feel like a changed person, right? And so ultimately how you build a culture is you have rules, you have standards, you have a common goal, right? Our team knows what our goals are, that we're trying to become a million-dollar cleaning company. And we have reasons why we're trying to do that. We face challenges together and we become stronger. We don't let adversity separate us, but we let it bring it closer together. And so if you've ever been part of a team, you've ever been part of any sort of group or community, like this is what you're building when it comes to building your cleaning culture. And when you have that, you'd be amazed at how people will do anything for you. Our very first cleaner that we hired, she's still with us today, right? And she went from actually starting out as our nanny into our cleaner, and then she went into a sales role, and now she's added into a managerial role, and she continues to evolve, and we continue to grow her and build her up. And I think that's what it's all about, is giving people opportunities. And so the key to that, though, is that you must have a big vision. You must have a big enough vision that you can include other people in it. But if it's just you, you have like such small goals, it's hard for anybody else to be able to see themselves in your vision if it's too small. So how you build a culture is you build something big, something bigger than just you. So if you guys are excited about that, like, let me know. Again, like this, like that right there is everything. That's how you dominate this business, is you build a culture. When you build a culture in this type of business, you can grow this thing massively. So, okay, let's talk about framework number three, right? This is how to ethically steal my model in less than 10 minutes. So 2017, I signed up for a gym mentorship with this guy named Alex Hormozi. Now, some of you guys might know who he is. He's big on YouTube now. But in 2017, nobody knew who he was, including myself. And so my gym at the time, it was struggling. I made about $5,000 a month. And when you own a gym business, unlike a cleaning business, like I have an actual brick and mortar facility. I have lots of expenses that go with that. And I was making almost no money. When I say almost no money, I mean, I was making enough money just to pay my gym business bills and pay my personal bills. And this went on for nearly 3 years. And so after 3 years, I started to realize that what I was doing wasn't working. And so when I saw this ad come across for this guy named Alex Hormozi and his company called Gym Launch, I was like, okay, well, we'll see what it's all about. And so I remember getting on a phone call with him, and I was sitting in Katie's her bedroom. At the time, we were not married. We were just dating at the time. And it was 8 a.m. on a Saturday morning, and he started explaining to me about his perfect gym model. And explaining me to his offer and how he got clients in the door, and then what he did once they got in the door, how you sold them. And I just was like getting so excited. I was like, oh my gosh, like this is it. Like I see the path. Like this is what I've been missing for the last 3 years. And then he told me how much it cost. And I remember sitting there, and the question he asked me before he told me the price was, are you ready for the sticker shock? And I just kind of like, oh no. And I said, sure. And he said it was $10,000. And my heart just sank in. I sat quiet on the phone for, it seemed like an eternity, but it was probably like 30 seconds. And I at the moment I contemplated, I was like, man, can I do this myself, right? Or is this like that moment? This is one of those moments that is going to transform my life. And I said, two words that like changed my life forever. I said, fuck it. Let's do it. And I did. And I made the commitment to join his program, and I invested my last $10,000 with him. And when I say my last $10,000, like that $10,000 wasn't even in the bank because I was so afraid of losing it. I had it underneath my pillow in a Crown Royal bag that I slept with, because I was like so afraid of losing this like last $10,000 that I had saved up. Man, I was just, at that point, I was committed. I was committed to doing exactly what he said to do, because I had no backup plan. I had, like, that was all. That was all the money I had. So, like, I had to make this work. I burned the boats. And so, although I was super uncomfortable, like, I had to trust him. I had to. And I was very fortunate. I went from doing about $5,000 a month to that very first month, I made $50,000. And my life completely transformed. And man, that was like a huge moment in my life. And one of the biggest reasons was because I just trusted the process, and I did what he had perfected over the course of many, many years, and it just worked, right? And so when it comes to the cleaning business model, like, what we have been able to build with this, it just works, right? And we've been able to utilize a lot of what we learned from prior businesses and be able to put it in the cleaning business. And so this is my mold, right? And so there's lots of other business models out there. There's different gurus out there. There's different clean mentorships that say do this or versus do that. But ultimately, I'm just going to tell you what my model is. And, you know, if you want to go faster and you want to have less decision-making, you want to focus on the big things, then this is how we do it. And I would suggest this is how you do it as well. And so this is our org chart, right? This is our Bozeman 5-star org chart. And so we have a couple job descriptions. We have our CEO, we have our COO, we have our board, we have our GM, we have marketing, we have recruiting, we have sales manager, we have customer support manager, we have cleaning tech manager, we have a training manager, we have cleaning techs, we have customer support specialists, and we have a salesperson. Okay. So these are all the roles that we have in the self-made model. Okay. Now, if you actually look here closely, you'll see that under these positions, there's multiple names. So not each person has one role, but some of these people actually have multiple roles. And now the bigger your company gets, the more of these roles can be individualized. But in the very beginning, like, if we, like, when we first started this, like, Katie and I were doing everything. And so if we plugged all these things in here, you would have saw that I was the CEO and the COO. I was the general manager. I was the cleaning tech manager. I was the support manager. I was the sales manager. I was the recruiter, and Katie was the cleaner. And that's kind of how we started out, right? And then as we started to elevate ourselves, we started to replace our names on this org chart with other people, right? And sometimes other people, they got more opportunity, and they got to replace us on different names on the org chart as well. And so that's the kind of the key to this whole process, is to continue to replace yourself on the org chart. And you can see now that I am outside of the org chart. I'm actually on the, like, I'm still a CEO, but I'm also a board member, which means I don't have any day-to-day role inside the company. And so this is what I call the self-made model. And when you have this model, man, it just allows you to see what the end looks like. And again, it goes back to clarity. Like, the clarity you get on where you're going, it becomes easier to do the hard work up front. It's easier to go through the pain and the challenges of growing a freaking business, right? It's a lot of pain. It's very much like giving, like having a baby. And when we had our very first, when we had our second child, Lainey, like my wife, Katie, she was pregnant for 9 months. And she had to go through all the challenges and the obstacles of being pregnant. And she got bigger, she got more lethargic, she got tireder, and there was no result, right? Until about 9 or 10 months in, when all of a sudden our youngest daughter was born, then all of a sudden we got the result. We got the result of, like, oh my gosh, these 9 or 10 months, they became worth it because now our daughter became born. But that was just another season, right? And the next season was, now we had to keep this thing alive, right? And we had to nurture it. We had to grow it. And we had to get it from being born to about the toddler years, which are about 2 years old. And then toddler years from 2 to now, she'll be 4 in about a month. Like, that's a whole nother transition. And we also have a 13-year-old daughter as well. And so, like, I know those different seasons from 4 to, you know, 9 or 10 years old, like, there's different seasons, and your business will also have different seasons. And so just understanding that when you're able to see what it looks like when your kid is 18, you can look at it from that point of view. You can see how you want to parent your child. Same thing is with your business. When you look at your business of, like, what it looks like when it's complete, you can start to see who needs to replace you in certain roles. So this is the self-made model org chart. Again, you'll have access to this as well. And so when it comes to self-made model, there's a couple big decisions that you need to make, right? And so we're going to talk about a couple of these decisions, but a few of these big decisions are like services offered. And so what we offer residential deep cleans. We offer residential maintenance cleans. We offer move-out cleans. We offer small office cleans. We do vacation rental cleans sparingly. So before I touch on vacation rental cleans, you also notice that we don't do commercial cleans. We don't do construction cleans. We don't do like hazardous cleans. And the reason why is because like we're just not equipped for it, and we want to stay focused on what we're good at, right? And what actually makes us the most money. And I put vacation rental cleans in here sparingly. So in the very beginning, I think people really love the idea of the vacation rental cleans because technically they're easy to find and easy to get, but they are a big pain in the butt because of the time allotment that you have to dedicate towards vacation rental cleans. Like you only have from about 10 or 11 to about 2 or 3 to get it done. They must be done that day. And a lot of times, if you don't have the staff to be able to cover these vacation rental cleans, then who ends up doing it is potentially you, right? And so what we found with our cleaning business, when we service our short-term rental cleans, we own 11 short-term rental units in Bozeman, is that we kept on having to pull off our cleaners from their weekly cleans or their reoccurring clients because we had a staff member quit or call out or get sick, and we had to pull them off one of their normal cleans in order to get these ones done because they had to be done in a specific time frame. And also in a worst case situation, my wife had to actually like go, and she had to go drop what she was doing and go clean because we had somebody call out sick or somebody forgot to clean the property. And so vacation rental cleans can actually be really tricky when you don't have a big enough staff. And so the reason why I say that is because now that we're floating between 10 and 12 cleaners, now it makes more sense for us to do vacation rental cleans. Now we're starting to look at actually picking up more, where up until probably about 3 or 4 months ago, we actually just would turn down all vacation rental cleans because they just were a pain in the butt. So once you have a big enough staff, then vacation rental cleans can actually become really, really valuable and really, really prosperous. And a second piece of that, if you actually can establish a relationship with a laundromat, which we did as well, that they will pick up your dirty laundries and they'll drop them back off, you can actually make even a little bit more money, and you can pass that cost on to the host. So anyway, that's the self-made model. This is the model that we use. Our biggest thing that we focus on is, how do we get residential maintenance claims? How do we get people on reoccurring, whether it be weekly, bi-weekly, or every 4 weeks? That's our main goal. Everything else is just a feeder into that primary service. Now, the next big decision you have to make when it comes to your model is, are you going to provide cars for your employees or no? And so before, again, because we came into this industry without any cleaning experience or any really industry knowledge, like having cars just didn't make any sense. I would ride a vehicle for an employee. And so we don't do cars. And as I started to learn more about it, the people who are the most profitable in the cleaning business, they don't provide cars either. And so not only is it just the upfront investment having cars, but then you have to run teams, which we'll talk about here in a second. You also have to probably do a wrap, then you got to pay for gas, you got to pay for insurance and all these other costs. And what we found is that our cleaners have no problem driving their own cars, right? And I'll explain how we're able to do that, because we incentivize them differently and just allows us to have less friction when we're able to bring on new cleaners. So we don't have to go buy new cars. We can just bring on new cleaners. And so this has really helped us scale as fast as we have, is because we don't have this big liability of having to provide cars to our cleaners. Now, the next thing is solo versus team cleaning. And so this is something that we just had to learn the hard way. And then eventually we learned that team cleaning is great in theory. But when, again, you have a cleaner who calls out or is sick or somebody who's fired or somebody who quits, then all of a sudden it messes the whole team up, right? And also we found out with solo cleaning is that it just allows people to make more money, give them more autonomy, and allow them more personal responsibility. And so now we do a solo model. So all of our maintenance cleans, they are done solo. Now we will still do team cleans when it comes to like big move out cleans or deep cleans or initial cleans. But when it comes to like a reoccurring residential cleaning, is always sold out, right? And it gives the cleaners autonomy, allows them for a consistent schedule and for them to develop a relationship with the houses that they're going to. But also at the same time, if somebody does get sick or call out, we can also put a different cleaner on there as well. And so just again, it allows us the flexibility to continue to grow our business without having to be held down by having team two. So in this case, we're only worried about how do we get one person to a clean, not having to get two people there. So another big decision you got to make is uniforms versus no uniforms. And so again, I always think about it from the standpoint of like, how do I create the least resistance? How do I get the most momentum going? How do I create the least distractions? And we don't do uniforms, right? And so I know a lot of people do, they spend a lot of money on buying t-shirts for people and uniforms to have their company look professional when they walk into a house. And we have never done that. And I've never had a single client complain about them not showing up in a specific uniform or them coming in dirty clothes. Obviously, like we have a dress standard, but we don't have them wear a specific type of clothes. We do have aprons that they can wear that have our logo on it. But outside of that, like it's just one less distraction, one less thing you have to worry about if when you're trying to hire somebody, it's like, oh, do we have enough t-shirts? Do we have enough uniforms to hire more people? And I think the less of those attractions you have, the faster you're able to scale and the more you're able to grow. And then another big decision is employees versus independent contractors, okay? And so we've actually done this both ways in our fitness business. And then when it came to our clean business, we knew exactly what we wanted to do. And so there's pros and cons to both. The pros to being an independent contractor is that it's much easier to hire people because you don't have to set up unemployment insurance. You don't have to like collect their state and federal taxes. You don't have to do workman's comp. You can generally pay them a little bit more and then they become responsible for their own taxes. Now, the con to hiring independent contractors is that they must know how to do their own taxes. They must have an independent contractor license to be legit. And another con is that most people who are cleaners, like they don't want to have to deal with having to set up their own taxes and do their own QuickBooks. And they'd rather actually just pay their fair share in taxes and just be a W-2 employee. And so that's what we decided that we were going to do when it comes to this business model is we were going to do W-2 employees because it gave us number one, more control. And we could dictate whether like how much somebody worked and that they showed up to team meetings. And we had control over the end clients as well. And I think that's one of the, like, the biggest reasons is that there's other business models out there that literally teach you to only do the marketing and sales. And you literally go find independent contractors to do all the fulfillment. But to me, the business model, the reason why it makes this business model so intriguing and so sexy is that you have reoccurring clients who will continue to pay you for you. Like as long as you continue to service them, potentially forever. And the reason why I say that is because we actually have a client. Her name is Susan Bianchini. She was the second or third person I signed up. So again, I only did sales for about a month and I signed her up. She's like our second or third person. And she is still with us today. I always see her commenting on our Facebook ads. I see her on the schedule and she's one of the clients who just like near and dear to my heart because I signed her up, right? But she's been with us for a couple of years now. And that's really the value in this company is that you can have a client that continues to pay you over and over and over again. So that's why we choose the W-2 model. And also from like a risk standpoint is that depending on how you actually manage your cleaners, like if the state, for example, deems that the people that you've been paying as an independent contractor, they should have been classified as a W-2 employee, they can actually take you and they can sue you for all those back taxes. And so I've actually heard stories of somebody who they had a business very similar to a cleaning business where they hired all their employees as independent contractors. And then one of the independent contractors went down to file unemployment. And they're like, well, you can't file unemployment, like you're an independent contractor. And then guy's like, well, I've been an employee for this guy for the whole time. Like he pretty much treats me like an employee. Like I don't have any other income. I don't have a job from anybody else. And so the state did an investigation on him and his company. And so not only did he lose that fight against that one employment case, but then they started digging into more research and found out that he had like 10 years worth of other employees, and he ended up having to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars in back taxes, ended up just putting him out of business. And so there's another risk as well. The reason why I like to play it safe, and I go with W-2 employees. And one of the final things we're going to talk about is hourly pay versus commission pay. So again, we did hourly pay for a while, and then when we transitioned over to commission pay, like, it changed everything for us. And so what it did is that it put us on the same side of the table as our cleaners. And so what I see a lot in hourly pay is that as the business owner, you're always trying to limit how much the cleaner gets paid, because you usurp their time clock, like when they show up to the office, or when they show up to the clean. Do they clock out when they're done with the clean, or when they get back to the office? Do they get drive time? All these things. And we solve all those problems by simply just paying our cleaners based on commission of the revenue generated. We pay them a good commission. And so again, like, you get access to our commission rates and our tiered system. But when we're able to do this, all of a sudden the questions about, do I get paid for drive time? What about gas? Those other things, like, they went away, because everything was rolled into this idea of commission pay. And we also, we get lots of tips because we ask for tips, and those tips go 100% to our cleaners. And so that's our way of saying, like, hey, like, you're responsible for your gas. You're responsible to use your own car. You don't get paid to drive, but what you do to get paid is you get paid a lot of money to actually clean the home, right? And it also incentivized them to actually do a good job, because they were only paid by the revenue generated if there was a correction clean, or they had to go back and fix something and there was no more money generated. Like, they didn't get any more money to do that. So it also incentivized them to actually do a great job as well. And so when we changed from hourly pay to commission pay, it really changed everything. So, and so that's why the self-made model, like, that's why it's so valuable, right? And you can literally steal what I've been doing, and you can take this into your business, and you will be successful. You don't have to make the decision of, like, well, should I have cars, or should I have uniforms, or should I do hourly, or should I do should I do commission pay? Should I do independent contractors versus should I do W-2 employees? Like, you can just take my model that's worked and will continue to work, and it will make you successful.